The ANMI's Infectious Disease and Public Health Unit, formerly HIV and AIDS Unit, works to combat HIV and AIDS both within and outside the mission. They are currently training, and we'll get to find out, a lot about those training. And it is a commitment to a fair and equitable workplace, which ensures all personnel are fully informed about HIV and AIDS and related issues, including policies. Joining me right about now in the studio is Dr. Patrick Sokiri Bongi, who is Infectious Disease and Public Health Unit team leader here in Juba, of course working for the United Nations Mission in South Sudan. Dr. Patrick, good morning. Good to have you on the Mirai Breakfast Show.
Hey, good morning, Sabit. It's a pleasure to be here this morning.
Yes, good. Let's begin just briefly about the latest training that you have been involved in. Just tell us about that.
Yeah, the United Nations mission in South Sudan, specifically the Infectious Diseases and Public Health Unit of the mission, which falls under the Health Services section, is involved in so many trainings, and these trainings are in line with the mission mandate, and specifically the protection of civilian component and service delivery component within the mission. Now, these trainings are very long, but they are worth it because, you know, the essence of behavior change is not a very automatic thing. It has to go through so much principles of adult learning, and so previously we had other trainings like, you know, change agents, peer education, and we completed one last month, and this time round, in coordination with the different stakeholders, because we have, you remember, the Sustainable Development Goals. Goal 3, you know, says we should address, you know, the threats from diseases and other infectious medical conditions. Now, this training is in line with the Sustainable Development Goals, and specifically we are fast-tracking such that by 2030 we should all be able to say we have reached the goal, and that is 95, 95, 95. It means by 2030, at least 95% of the global population should know their HIV status, and South Sudan is part of the global, you know, population. And those who know the HIV status and would test positive, at least 95% of them should be put on life-saving antiretroviral therapy. And those who are on treatment or antiretroviral therapy, the medications that are used for treatment of HIV and AIDS related complications, we expect the medicines to work. And when do we say the medicines are working? We say they are virally suppressed. So when we all, and we cannot reach that, we cannot be able to make people know the HIV status, whether all the different counseling, HIV counseling models or HIV testing services, we need people. And we need human resource. But the other challenge has been, what is happening? Why are we not meeting this target? There is a human resource gap. And not only human resource gap, but a well-trained human resource gap.
Great.
And we have the capacity to deal with this. That's why we are embarking on this training.
All right. So this training, basically, is it a training or a training of trainers?
Training of service delivery personnel.
Okay.
So critical service delivery personnel. And by the way, we have made it into, we organize two trainings in a year because it's a very long training. It is supposed to be done in 21 days. The WHO and the Minister of Health guidelines say we should, there's a clear guideline on how it should be done because based on the 4 decades learned, and the training is perfected to meet the gaps. Now, we are doing it in 18 days. 18 days whereby for 12 days, there will be classroom lectures, case scenarios, practical skill building. They learn how to do one-on-one counseling. They learn how to do couple counseling, which could be either partners or a guardian and a minor. And and then they should also be able to attend to cases of rape, you know, being able to give post-exposure prophylaxis, being able to normalize HIV and AIDS in a standard counseling session. And not only in a local setting, but even some of them will be able to do that in an international setting. That's why in the composition of the class, we only requested for 25 participants.
All right.
Yeah.
And where do you gather these participants then?
Yeah, these participants, we work hand in hand with the Ministry of Health, with the South Sudan AIDS Commission, and the organized force, the uniformed services, like the South Sudan People's Defense Forces and the Ministry of Interior. Mm-hmm. The South Sudan People's Defense Forces, they have been our partner all through in all these trainings. We make sure they get an opportunity because every country evidence has shown that the HIV prevalence, and if the HIV prevalence in the nation is around 2.5, mm-hmm. In the organized forces will always be double.
Mm-hmm.
Now we know that the organized forces are part and parcel, are very important stakeholders in the HIV, global HIV AIDS response. So we can never succeed in our global targets without involving them. Now we write to them and we give some very simple conditions.
Mm-hmm.
Committed individuals, people of integrity, people who know how to effectively communicate in English, and because the trainings, the curriculum is in English,
mm-hmm.
and then they send them to us, and we, like for the government of South Sudan, we give them temp slots, whereby the SSPDF, the Ministry of Health, South Sudan AIDS Commission, we write to the Undersecretary. The Undersecretary will get to the Directorate, HIV/AIDS Directorate. They'll lead the selection process. In the SSPDF, we have a director of the SSPDF.
Mm-hmm.
He is a very formidable general committed to the cause, and they get us the right mm-hmm. people. So when they send us all these participants, now we work with them. And,
all right.
Yeah.
Let's go to quite one of the questions that people really still ask is HIV still a very big concern in the country? What's the prevalence that, at the moment in South Sudan?
The national prevalence is just above 2.6, mm-hmm. because now there's been no population-based survey. I would have left the figures
mm-hmm.
to the ministry to announce them themselves. But basically, the national prevalence is above 2.6, and we have seen that Western Equatoria still leads with prevalence. It has come down from around 7.2 to 6.8, now it has come to 6.4, which is good.
Mm-hmm.
But we have seen that also some states have a marked increase. States like Lake States, if you see the latest data,
mm-hmm.
it's an alarming rise. So that tells you there's a problem. And I would have loved that today one of our partners from the South Sudan AIDS Commission or the ministry,
mm-hmm.
And I think we'll organize for you to meet them so that they give us a comprehensive package, because it's the prerogative to give out data. Now, we know it's a problem. That's why when we write out and we engage with our national counterparts, they respond immediately, because knowing that these people that we're going to train, they're going to fill up
a huge gap.
A huge gap.
Yes. Now, talking about, one of the issues that data are not known is because people don't want to go for testing.
Yes.
And people don't want to go to testing because people are scared of stigma that is associated with HIV. Now, in this particular training, what can be done to ensure that stigma against people living with HIV is reduced?
Yeah. In fact, one of the things to address the issues of stigma and discrimination, and most importantly, sensitize the community or sensitize people, not only the people in the street, but even in healthcare settings,
mm-hmm.
because lots of stigma are happening in healthcare settings. For example, the issues of, doctors putting on double gloves when they look at somebody, or people testing testing patients or clients without their consent,
mm-hmm.
because here we focus, for example, the training that we completed last month, which was purely for the government, where we trained 25 participants from the government. They're trained as change agents in 10-day training. So these persons go out there equipped with the updated evidence-informed skills on how to address the challenges to the HIV-AIDS response, including stigma and discrimination,
mm-hmm.
including myths about, for example, use of some of the smart combination of HIV prevention strategies,
mm-hmm.
and why people do not access these free HIV testing services and free HIV medications. And they go out there and they are able to do them on parades, they're able to do them on radios, they're able to do them in community settings. Now, specifically in this training, One thing that I have to mention here is there has been noted loss to follow up. The concept of loss to follow up means if I come for HIV services, mm-hmm. I get my ARVs, I mm-hmm. get tested, I'm positive, I get my ARVs, or I get tested negative, I'm supposed to come back after three months for another test.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't come.
Okay.
I don't return. Mm-hmm. And then later on, I have tested for HIV, I'm HIV positive, I'm started on the medications, I disappear. So why is there loss to follow up? We realize that one thing is the high level of stigma and discrimination, and the other thing is the quality of the service being given. Mm-hmm. Because in this country, at least the government facilities, the management is, because they are being supported and fully, the quality of the counselors is good. But there are some instances whereby the quality of the counseling in other facilities, you know, mm-hmm. the mushrooming facilities around, the quality of the quality might not be so good. Mm-hmm. That's why we said no.
Yeah.
Let us work together and bring quality, start pumping into the the common pool, quality counselors who will curtail these increased numbers of loss to follow up. Because if you get quality service, mm-hmm. there's no point for you to go to Uganda, for you to go to Kenya, for HIV-related services. You get them locally.
Get it. Yeah. Yes, and let's talk about that now. Tell us about some of the right places to go to for testing and for this counseling.
Oh, yes. What I know, for example, I will start with the private facilities. You know, the Ministry of Health, together with WHO, the quality assure facilities. I know there are two facilities that are giving antiretroviral services. If you are scared of going to, you know,
public
facilities because of the long queue, mm-hmm. places like, you know, the EB clinic, it's a private facility, it's quality managed to offer private quality services, but supported by the government. The medications are free. Mm-hmm. Yes, you pay for other things like the consultation, seeing a doctor, laboratory, mm-hmm. but the testing is free. All these things are free because the government works together with the partners to make sure they are provided freely. Mm-hmm. And then there's another facility called Diagenesis. Those are the latest two I know, but we will expect that, you know, somebody from the ministry will come and give us the updated figures on the facilities privately. But every state, I think it's the last time I checked, we had over 90 ART centers in this country. Mm-hmm. The Juba Teaching Hospital, I'll mention, that is an old facility. And in Juba Teaching Hospital, I think we have close to three facilities that are able to give the Tahit Mangat, the famous Tahit Mangat, you know, with the integrated center where we have TB, HIV, and other neglected tropical diseases. Next to where the mangoes are, the military hospital is well established, giving quality services. The Bilfam, the HIV AIDS secretariat, there's also a facility there. Nyakuran, Munuki PHCC in High Kuwait. Leave alone that Kator PHC, they all offer quality services. Gurey, so there is no shortage of ART centers in this country.
Yes, so clearly there are services, there are places for services. There's help,
correct?
When needed.
Yes.
Why are people still dying of HIV-related illnesses or sicknesses when clearly, if you take the right procedures, you can live, I believe, a very normal life like any other person?
Yes, correct. The challenge is a bit complicated, and it comes down to lack of knowledge. That's why every Tuesday we come here for straight talk. Mm-hmm. Every Sunday there's a repeat. Mm-hmm. And the government too is involved in so many innovative programs. One of the biggest programs we had was the Right to Health campaign, whereby we targeted organized forces together with their families. Mm-hmm. And now the ministry together with the partners is working on what is referred to as indexed testing. Mm-hmm. If, for example, I get tested, my sex partners will have to be traced in a very confidential manner, mm-hmm. and if you have two wives, one mm-hmm. wife, three wives, all of them, you know, there's that the whole family mm-hmm. will be tested in a round. And then leave alone that we now have, because people are scared of needles, one thing.
That's not
coming there, people are scared, oh, I'm going to be, you know, this pain that. But let's assure people here that, you know, it's all myths. The clinicians we train, mm-hmm. are very good.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, you're listening to the Miraya Breakfast Show. Of course, this is where the big conversation begins every morning. You can still share your thought with us later by sending us a text message on 0912177141. And yes, here with me in the studio, we have Dr. Patrick Sokiribongi, who is the team leader of Infectious Disease and Public Health Unit here in Juba. Apologies, of course, for that. We will be back briefly after the news headlines that's coming to you at 8:30. But you can share your thought with us on any of the stories that you have heard. Our text message line is 0912177141. And be this morning live in the program. Sabal Kher, we'll be right back.
Cholera can be spread by poor toilet or latrine practices. Dispose of all feces in latrine or toilet. If you don't have a latrine or toilet, defecate away from any water sources and then bury your feces. Dispose all children's feces in the latrine. Children's feces are as dangerous as the feces of adults. They carry disease-causing germs like cholera and can pollute the environment and contaminate water sources and food. All latrines must be kept clean and covered at all times. This prevents flies and children from carrying cholera-causing germs into your food, which eventually make you sick. This message is brought to you by the Ministry of Health, World Health Organization, and UNICEF.
Breakfast Show News Headlines.
It's 8:30 a.m. and this is the Miraya Breakfast Show News Headlines. Well, 20 youth have been arrested in Torit County, Eastern Equatoria State, in connection with the intercommunal fighting that killed four people last week. Now, still in Eastern Equatoria State, authorities have dispatched police force to Lapon County to calm tension between Lokitojo and Lachorok villages following the killing of seven peace delegates in a road ambush last week. Now, blood compensation is to be paid for 17 youth killed during a land dispute in Duke County of Jonglei State in 2018. And the commissioner of Munri East County in Western Equatoria State has urged community to collectively protect children and enroll them in school. That's the Miraya News headlines coming to you live this morning here on the Miraya Breakfast Show. At 9 exactly, the news in details will be coming to you in English. Stay tuned if you can, of course, for that story. Now, as we were having a conversation here this morning with Dr. Patrick Sokiribongi, who is Infectious Disease and Public Health Unit Team Leader here in Juba, and we've been discussing as this particular unit has been involved in training people just within the mission and also outside the mission as defined to address the issues of HIV and AIDS and also achieve the Sustainable Development Goals that is part of zero new infections by 2030, if I'm right, Dr. Sokiri, Dr. Patrick. Yes, we were having a conversation about, of course, stigma and about why people are still dying of HIV-related illnesses when there's help almost everywhere around. And you are making a point. Now, here, point you are making is about follow-ups when it comes to, you know, follow-ups when it comes to testing and all that. There are some people, they actually wait for their wives to get pregnant before and the wife go and test.
Testing by proxy.
Yeah, yeah.
They want to test by proxy.
Yeah, the wife test and then those like, I'm fine. What will you say on those kind of practices?
Okay, you know, this all comes down to lack of information. And that's why all these persons, we train them to become effective listeners and effective, you know, speakers and then effective communicators. Now, the whole essence is information. And that's why we're here today. Mm-hmm. Now, usually we have to be cognizant of the fact that when we try to test ourselves by proxy, we're getting it wrong. Mm-hmm. Because our wives might be, our partners might be negative, mm-hmm. but we may be positive, you know, and or vice versa. Mm-hmm. You know, this, or if the partner tests positive, you know, I might be negative. Yeah. And that's the phenomenon, we call it zero difference. Zero difference, or it is very badly referred to as discordant couples. Mm-hmm. Discordant couple, because it sounds stigmatizing, so we don't like it so much. We say zero difference is only a difference in the zero statuses mm-hmm. of the two individuals.
Where one can actually get, but the other cannot get.
The other is testing positive because, you know, we grew up in our different ways. Mm-hmm. When we met and got married, we might not have gone for testing. We just married. Then when pregnancy happened, we now, because you know it becomes mandatory that, you know, when they go for antenatal care, it becomes mandatory that the partner has to be tested because of the newborn, because
to protect the newborn,
to protect the unborn. The current medications we have, if we start them immediately within 6 weeks, you know, the lady should be virally suppressed, and the possibility of contracting HIV during delivery is zero.
Mm-hmm. It's literally zero.
Literally zero.
That level.
So
any pregnant woman should not be worried about
She should not be worried. You know, mm-hmm. she'll give birth to an HIV. We used to say it's reduced, but that's not true. If she takes her medications on time, she adheres to the treatment, mafi mushkila.
It's zero.
Yeah, it's zero.
All right. Yeah. And just before I let you go, of course, just tell us briefly on the, you know, some people just fear, like, if I go, I get tested, I become positive. How do you deal with this kind of diagnosis when you're trying to advise them? And why shouldn't they worry?
One thing is, with counseling, we don't advise, but we look at the issues pragmatically. We look at the issues objectively, and we avail the options available. We look at the issues, for example, in the process, you know, a normal counseling session takes an average of 40 minutes, mm-hmm. but it can be longer. Yeah. It can go on for days and days, mm-hmm. Where we refer to a continuous support counseling or adherence counseling, because to be diagnosed with HIV is not an easy thing mm-hmm. because of the stigma associated with it. Now, we are working very hard together with all the different, you know, the different activists to address the issue of stigma and discrimination, to normalize HIV, mm-hmm. that we get to know that, you know, being positive or negative, life goes on, mm-hmm. and quality life goes on. Yeah. Now,
but is there any reason, though, for whatsoever the case may be, of course, for this stigma to continue, because there are some other diseases that are even worse.
Yes, that's the point.
Than HIV.
The challenge is because we are not talking about it. You know, our societies are closed societies. For example, if you ask partners, you know, if you ask even partners themselves, you ask women, have you ever seen how the external genitalia of your husband looks like?
Mm-hmm.
No. It's a taboo.
Yeah.
People, like, you know, there are things that we don't discuss in public.
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't discuss them in public, but, you know, it matters when we should discuss it among our partners. And as I said, one of the biggest challenge, we always say this, if a client tests positive and goes to commit suicide, most of the times the mistake comes from the healthcare provider or the counselor.
Mm-hmm.
Because there is... this client has not been prepared adequately enough to get that positive result.
Mm-hmm.
That's why most of the times when clients come to us, knowing getting tested is not always an emergency.
Yeah.
Unless, you know, you have to make a decision of whether to give post-exposure prophylaxis mm-hmm. or not.
Mm-hmm.
An HIV test is not always an emergency. So prepare the person, you know, adequate preparation. And the preparation is not complicated. Simple, basic facts mm-hmm. and what we call a personal risk assessment.
Mm-hmm.
When you do that risk assessment, for example, if I had gone out, I had done this, mm-hmm. I had probably gone that, I see these issues pragmatically, and there's a possibility I might test positive, it prepares me adequately to prepare to take that positive result. I'll not get shocked because there's that concept of, you know, responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if that result is found to be positive, we usually... This is the essence of disclosure.
Mm-hmm.
And the disclosure here, when we work with disclosure, we also work on this person that he or she is going to disclose to. We try to reach out to that person, you know. And when that is, when this person is empowered adequately enough, he or she would be able to disclose well, and we have something called a treatment buddy. You know, a treatment buddy, you don't have to announce to the whole world. For example, if we are friends with you and I'm not comfortable disclosing to my wife, I would want the counselor to get involved, or I want another friend to get involved. We look at it because that's, these are the options available. Then we work within that context and through couple expected couple counseling modalities, and we're able to address that issue. So there is support. Usually people are scared because they do not know that there is support mechanisms. And not only that, the clubs of people living with HIV, other bodies,
positive living,
these people, they are doing a very, very big job. In fact, more than us, because they have tested it, they are on treatment, they have gone through it all. When they speak with authority.
All right. And just before you go, one final question. Can this, you know, goal of 2030 be achieved from the way things are moving right now?
It is achievable. It is. We are very optimistic that it's achievable. And though still we are not doing so well, because what do we need? Medications? The game changer, they are there. Personnel to effect them, they are here. We have the tools.
Why is
in
there
our disposal.
No? Why is there no cure up to now?
There's no cure because of the nature of the virus. It's a lentivirus. It's a retrovirus, very replicating every time. It's just, its production is error prone. It comes, you know, it's very difficult to hold it. And then most importantly, it hides, you know, in long memory cells, in the brain, in the lymph nodes, especially the biggest of them all, in the gut, what we call Peyer's patches, and it hides in the testicles. And these are areas whereby they're very difficult to penetrate. They go, and like we said, if you stop taking the medications, they come out. So, but we have 5 documented cases of complete remission. The famous Berlin patient, London patient, California patient, Baltimore patient. The California patient being the oldest, over 30 years on medications. Then they went through a complicated, you know, medical intervention whereby there is bone marrow transplantation from somebody who has been resistant to being infected by. By the way, there are 5 we
cases
said
that
earlier.
There are
there are 5 stages whereby there's evidence of complete immunity from HIV. So this being tagged, we are very optimistic that since we have these 5 people who have undergone complete remission, we don't say cure. Because still they're being observed for some time, but you know, many of them have been for several years and no, they've not regressed. The HIV has not come back. So we are very positive that a cure is across the corner. It's very close.
All right.
Yeah.
Dr. Patrick, thank you so much for coming to Mirai Breakfast Show. Your final remarks, please.
Yeah, my final remarks are, you know, we cannot see if somebody's infected. We cannot know if we are infected. Let us just make that bold decision and walk to a healthcare provider and demand to be tested.
But above all,
for HIV,
course,
and other sexually transmitted infections too.
But above all, of course, prevention is
better
very,
than cure.
Very important.
HPV, hepatitis B, let's get vaccinated.
Thank you.
Let's know that hepatitis C is curable.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Dr. Patrick, for coming to Mirai Studios. We do appreciate your time. Thank you very much. And that is Dr. Patrick Sokiri Bongi, who is the team leader for Infectious Disease and Public Health Unit, Juba, here, working with the United Nations Mission in South Sudan.